Did you find yourself in a different subconsciousness?
Yeah, it was like a different state. Again, it was really hard to explain. It all of a sudden, it's like being in a different place. You know, you're conscious.
Like another dimension?
Yeah, in a sense. Yeah, you're conscious of your physical body, but you're in a different, maybe that's the best way to explain it. And then the other interesting thing was I did sense the presence of other beings. And that's part of the Enochian magic, that once you enter a higher realm, and supposedly they're divided into 30 different realms, from the lowest up to the furthest, which is God. So it goes from 30, 29, 28 to 1.
And the lowest is what, hell?
No, that's where, no, they're considered all heavenly realms. It's the first one that our physical world borders on, up to God. Like, you start with the earth, the physical realm. Then you go from 30
it's like,
all the way
it's like
to
the
one.
Bottom of a ladder. That's
right. Okay. But, you know, the 30th one is like, you know, when we get sometimes feelings of intuition, or we see certain kind of mystical things. That's kind of where we're moving into that, not even realizing it. But with the meditation, the Enochian meditation allows you to go completely into it. So it wouldn't be that foreign to many people. That's why it's fairly safe. The first realm, it's called Aethers, a heavenly realm, is very comfortable. But right away, I felt the presence of angels. Now, each of the realms supposedly is governed by three or four angels, or governors, they call them. The 30th has four, and the 29th to the 1st have three. And I could actually sense the presence of four different beings that each had different types of personalities. And I call them in my book flavors, because it's like, you know, if you meet somebody, they may have a certain cologne you recognize. They wear a certain outfit. You recognize them. They have a flavor. Well, these angels had flavors, and I could tell which one was, you know, I was interacting with. And they had different kind of attributes. And that was really amazing. And so that's when I thought, my goddess. Oh, and Lon Milo Duquette said to me, you know, Enochian magic is so powerful that even somebody with no magical or psychic ability, that it would work for them. And I thought, yeah, that's me, somebody with no psychic ability. And it really worked. So that's why now the thing is, what's nice about the technique, the way I brought it into a meditation, and that's why I don't call it Enochian magic, I call it Enochian meditation. I got rid of anything superficial, like the ritual equipment that people use in magical rituals. All you do is sit in a chair with the book, and you do the Enochian call. You just read through it, and you do the procedure. You don't have to take classes. You don't have to get equipment. And like I said, I think the possibility of it working is very high, because it's so simple. Dr. John Dee, as I mentioned, in the 16th century, was given this information by the angels. Dee was probably the most intelligent person that was living in that Renaissance period. He was a mathematician, a cartographer, a cryptologist, a scientist. He had the largest library in the world. He was the advisor to Queen Elizabeth I. When he was in his 50s, he realized, maybe like us, you're not going to find the answers to life through the normal physical world, you know,
right,
the sciences. You've got to go to higher levels. So that's when he decided to try to contact the angels to get these answers. And again, I have the whole story about it in my book. But the bottom line is, the angels did contact him through, he worked with a person known as Edward Kelly, who was his scryer, who could actually look into crystals and see visions and have the ability to contact the angels better than Dee. And together, they put together, over a period of many years in the 1580s, the whole Enochian system of magic. And that's what came down to us to the present. But magical groups like the Golden Dawn and the OTO and many others have embellished them with their rituals and different things. And, you know, maybe that's helpful for certain people. But I always like the simplest thing and how it was originally meant to be used. And I believe it was just simply the Enochian call that would open up the higher realms. You didn't need all these other things. And if they're helpful for you, that's great. It's almost like, say, going to church. You know, some people need the singing and the incense and the fellowship. And
it's like a motivation for them.
Yeah, and others, like me, I prefer to just walk into a church by myself and pray, or sit in my chair at home and pray. And I go, so, I mean, so I'm not saying what's good for me is good for others, but I found out if you got rid of all these different things, it just allows you to center on the technique. So that's kind of how I fell into this. I believe me, I would be the last one to think something like this would just rip the veil between the physical and the spiritual for me. And I've done this hundreds of times. I've never experienced anything negative with it. I feel it is good and holy, and it does bring us closer to God. And I would never, ever publish anything or promote anything that I thought had any negative, you know, or evil influence.
Well, no, that's not you. You know, you're not like a Satanist.
You know, I don't think so.
Far,
I hope not,
far from it. Far from it. Well, let's assume for a moment, John, that Enoch was real, okay?
Okay.
Physical person. These stories that he kind of ascended away, something happened. I don't know what it was, but something very mystical happened to this person, didn't it?
I agree. And here's the reason why. If you read the Book of Enoch, and by the way, it's a really fun read. It's a really big book. You can, you know, find it on the internet. But the apocryphal Book of Enoch says, you know, he was taken up and he was brought to each of the seven heavens. And he was brought back to earth to record what happened for posterity and for others. So, yes, I believe he did experience something. Because, look, there were a lot of people that walked with God. They weren't taken up to heaven. They died naturally. Why was Enoch so special? I always say I don't believe it was because he was such a great person. I believe God had a mission for him. Why does God take people sometimes that aren't the greatest saints for missions? We don't know. That's God's free will. But I think he was taken up to heaven, and he was made to experience all these realms so he could give it to us. Now,
Can you put an ET spin on this for some reason? Is it possible?
Sure. Why not? I mean, look at Ezekiel, right?
Right.
I mean, when you read Ezekiel, I mean, it's hard not to say that was an ET. And by the way, later when we talk about, when we get into, hopefully some of my crystal skulls.
Yeah, we'll do crystal skulls next hour.
Yeah, I'm going to be talking about some of that because one of my closest friends is Betty and Becky Andreessen, and I've been working with them for many years.
Great abductee case.
Exactly.
It is. I think it's as strong as the Barney and Betty Hill case.
I do, too, and I've known them personally for many years. I've done a lot of research with Becky, and something, one aspect of my research you may not have been aware of, but hopefully that'll fit in more when we talk about crystal skulls. But when you talk about an alien connection, I'm a firm believer that there's something happening out there. Now, whether they're alien, extraterrestrial, interdimensional travelers, I don't know, but I definitely believe that there's something strange, and there is some kind of alien energy. So,
negate a God by any means.
Not at all. I mean, in fact, how do we know the angels aren't involved in this also?
That's right.
It may be. I always say, you know, in physics we look for a unified field theory to have one equation to explain how weak and strong and forces work, you know, gravity and quantum physics. I think there's a unified psychic energy theory that will explain how all psychic activity works. In fact, remember with the pyramid research with the Russians that I've done for many years, Dr. Tay, one of the great Ukrainian researchers, was involved trying to study this, and he believed that the energy field that was involved with the pyramids and psychic energy is one and the same, and he was working on that. I don't know how far he's got, but George, I mean, this all could come together in a simple type of energy, a simple explanation that is actually very scientific.